Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We are in the chapter, We Agnostics. We're on page 44 and we're going to take apart paragraph 2 today. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Nan K., The 12 Traditions, Laura R., and reading the text today, Jackie H. and Elaine T., and then followed up with greeting newcomers and sponsors as Wendy B., and announcements will be Leslie M. The OA, let's give you the previous day's reference numbers. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, July 29th, is 13213. 13,213. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened this morning, Tuesday, July 30th, 2019, is 13215, 13,215. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, I'm Nan K., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Michigan. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Nan K. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Yes, thank you. These are the 12 traditions. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater from Colorado. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And we're indicating the star 1 function on your phone rather than your own mute function. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 44, paragraph 2. And that begins with, to one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, and ends with, not always easy alternatives to face. And I'm going to ask Jackie H. to read that paragraph and then unpack it with her experience, strength, and hope before we open it up to others. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Mel. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for letting me do service as well. This is Jackie H. in Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic. So here we go. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. So what do I want to share this morning? In the previous paragraph, what it's talking about is this experience that might seem impossible, is the spiritual experience that they talk about in the paragraph before. And I have, it says here that we're suffering from an illness, which only a spiritual experience can conquer. And I had spiritual malady there. That's what my illness is. It showed up. As lots of things, but it showed up. One of the ways it showed up was in my eating and in my food, and by using food to soothe myself, by using food when I was happy, when I was sad, to fill the hole that really wasn't there, but I felt it was there. And in these rooms, I've learned that food was not my problem. I always thought it was. I thought I had a horrible love-hate relationship with it, but that wasn't my problem. Food was my solution, and that's what I was going to on the outside of me to give me some peace, some rest, some ease and comfort, right? And it didn't work. And so there, once again, a year ago, I was faced with my spiritual malady right in my face again. And, you know, when I first went into 12-step 11 years ago, I can't tell you, I'm embarrassed, but I don't even think I read this chapter. because I thought I didn't have, well, one thing, when I came in, I was kind of done with the whole higher power and God thing anyway. But before that, I knew I didn't think of myself as an agnostic. I knew I believed in God. I was just kind of mad at him, right? And man, reading this chapter this time, different experience. And you know what? I was listening to a special edition some time ago, or maybe it was just a share, and another fellow was saying, you know what? I am agnostic. I can be an agnostic during the day, just by the drop of a hat, when I'm not leaning in to my higher power. And that was very powerful to me to hear that. And then I got to notice, what am I doing here? Am I leaning into my higher power, or am I using my own finite abilities and knowledge to work through whatever it is I'm working through? And today, I'm so grateful. I'm just so happy to sit here and say, as a recovered woman, that I finally have that connection that I've been looking for all my life. And I don't feel plugged in 24/7 all the time, but more so today than yesterday, for sure. Not tomorrow, who knows? But I know that that's my goal, to lean into my higher power to solve my problems. And you know, I continue to peel away layers and layers and layers that have been hidden underneath thank you, I'll pass here in a minute, underneath all of the different behaviors that I had. And it's kind of painful. But you know what? Today, I don't have to do it by myself. I've got my program, I've got my fellows, and most importantly, I have a higher power that absolutely wraps the love of God around me. And then I get to go out and extend that to my other fellows. So thank you for letting me read and letting me share, and everyone have a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. The lines are now open for others to comment on paragraph 2, page 44 of the big book. If you would give me your name and the first initial of your last name, I can write you down, put you in line.
Kelly S.
Kelly.
Kathleen O.
Clara G.
Clara G.
Yes.
Ginger the last name? Did I hear Bruce? I'm just going to guess that that's Bruce.
Brucey.
Okay,
right.
Great. And then I hear Ginger.
Melissa C.
Melissa, let's take it. That's my six right there. I heard somebody else, but I'm going to listen for that one next round. I have Kelly S., Kathleen O., Claire G., Bruce E., Ginger C., and Melissa C. Kelly, hi, good morning to you. You're up first.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks for your service. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Oklahoma. Grateful to be on the line. I'm so glad to be in this chapter because, like others have shared, I didn't really ever focus on this chapter in the past. And this is where the turning point was for me over six years ago. And so back to this paragraph. So to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is the alcoholic of the hopeless variety. You know, and that was me. I had decided, completely knew I was a hopeless person. You know, I've been around these rooms for 30 years. I've been working this program, so I thought, and I was just doomed to alcoholic death, you know, the compulsive overeater death. I was definitely that jumping off place that talks about, you know, couldn't imagine my life without eating, and I certainly couldn't imagine continuing the way I was going because it was just miserable. And I know I've shared this before. You know, it wasn't even the weight and eating that brought me to my knees, to that place of desperation. I was, you know, I've lost 125 pounds, but at that point I was only 90 pounds overweight on my way back up. But it was that place of hopelessness. You know, I just was just sure. And I was so grateful when I started listening here and finding I was seemingly hopeless. And so, you know, I know we've talked about this, the agnostic thing. You know, I'm like, well, I believed in God, but I was the person I thought God didn't believe in me, that God didn't care about me. And I like that definition, you know, which was what it is, about without knowledge. And what did I have? I didn't have the knowledge of knowing How am I supposed to be working this program, for God's sake, right? All these years, I didn't understand. I had to put down the food. I had a spiritual malady. So I was working it without the knowledge of how it was really meant to be worked, and without, you know, not using my higher power the way this program is saying. In partnership, it talks about that in the AA 12 and 12, and it's with God and through God. And I wanted God to do it to me. I wanted this higher power to zap me and fix me, and that wasn't happening. So then I was hopeless, you know. And so for 30 years, because I wasn't working in it the way it's supposed to be, I had to start with that set aside prayer, you know, because I couldn't imagine living a life on a spiritual basis. I didn't even think that was going to happen for me, but I couldn't keep going the way I was going. So I had to set aside what I thought I knew. I didn't have the knowledge. You know, I wasn't agnostic, you know, in this program in every sense of the word. And so grateful again that not only, because I don't believe I have a bottom. You know, I don't have a top weight. I always got heavier than I thought. I always emotionally got a worse bottom than I ever thought. What I have to get today, and I've got to thank you, God, is a place of desperation to put aside the things, you know, to work the program like it was meant to be worked, to find this higher power. And it takes time. I'm 4.5 years recovering. It's taking time. But abstinent today, grateful, doing it with you guys. Glad to be here. Thanks, Mala Pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly S. Kathleen O., it's your next turn.
Oh, good morning, Melanie.
Interesting.
Thank
said
you so
that
much.
Way, and then Clara coming after you.
Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And let me set my. See if I can get my timer to set here.
Okay. I gotcha.
So an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. You know, I was told not to start this chapter if I still had any thoughts or believed I could control my eating. And when I got to this chapter, I knew I had very little control over, I had no control over what I ate. You know, there were foods that once I started eating them, I was unable to stop eating them. And we're told we suffer from an illness. I like to say I'm genetically wired this way, that there was likely a time when I was very young that I didn't feel loved or safe. And I found that food fixed those feelings, albeit temporarily, but it filled that void. And this started at when I was 2. That's my first recollection of it. And so then I continued for decades. So, you know, for decades, I don't have any doubt that I can't control my eating because I tried for decades to stop and never could. And so I was ready for this chapter, We Agnostics, because I wasn't a God person. My religious upbringing was not a positive experience. And nor was I in love with God being referred to as he or him. So I get calls from people who struggle with the concept of God, and some feel they really don't have God, and that's why they can't stay abstinent. But I do believe you can practice a secular program and still be abstinent and find freedom and get the promises of this program. I don't practice a secular program. I do, you know, God is not a problem for me anymore. I don't have a problem saying it. But for atheists or agnostics, it doesn't help that the word God is mentioned many times in this chapter, and over 200 occurrences of the word God and related words appear in the first 164 pages. And an agnostic is defined as a person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. So to be doomed to an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to faith. And I certainly didn't want to die in the misery of the food. So to live on a spiritual basis, there's a couple definitions of that. One is related to religion or religious belief. And if used as an adjective, it's relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. So if spiritual is religion, well, even scholars in religious studies can't agree on that one definition. And my guess is compulsive overeaters can't agree on one definition of God. But the term God, of my understanding, it's allegedly a compromise that was made for atheists and agnostics. So I choose to believe God is spiritual and relating to the soul. And I found I could get crazy in my head with the 200 plus references to God. So I learned to stop being a part of the debating society, get out of my head, get into my heart. And I was willing because I was desperate. I had to change the story. I had to find the mind-body-soul connection. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. Oh, Clara G., you're up now, and then Bruce will follow you. Clara?
Yeah, hi, this is Clara. You know, if my choices are to be doomed to live compulsively overeating and all that pain and fatness that comes with it, or to live a spiritual basis. I definitely want the spiritual basis. The problem is that when I think spiritual basis, I have to think about God, and I don't know what I believe is God, really. And the thing is that I can choose my own belief of God, and I just need to be willing to believe. And so something that has helped me is the idea of, I mean, this sounds a little ridiculous, but it has helped me, to think that I am creating like an imaginary friend who has power over me, who has power over a lot of things, super powerful, and it has attributes like love, wisdom, and power. And so then I start a relationship with this imaginary friend, and I can ask that imaginary friend to help me believe in him, that I do want to believe in him, but I really can't force myself to believe in something I don't. And somehow that way of going about it has really helped me. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that because my faith keeps on improving by asking my imaginary friend is not so imaginary anymore because I see that amazing things he can do over me, like change character defects, take away my fears, things like that. Or is it a great way of going about it for me, you know, to think it's just an imaginary friend, or it's just a way to start going about really believing in a higher power. But whatever it is, it has kept me abstinent, and it's improving my defect of character, it's removing my resentments, it's helping me do my 10 steps. It's working out for me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara G. Bruce E., it's your turn to comment on paragraph 2, and then after you, it'll be Ginger. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. I am a recovered addict, food addict in North Carolina. My name's Bruce E., and I am just very happy to be on this line. First, I want to comment on that last sentence in that paragraph. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis. Okay, you know, I'm thinking about this thing, and I'm thinking, well, what did I do wrong for the first 20, 25 years in this program? You know, what kept me unrecovered, not recovered? Well, because how do I tried to figure out how I could possibly squeeze in between doomed to an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis. You know, rather than being totally sold on this program, getting myself immersed in it, working it every day, having a sponsor, working through the steps, or being doomed to an alcoholic death, how do I just sort of squeeze in between those two? Now, of course, you can't because it says not down here either. It's one or the other. It says that that's an easy alternative to face. It's one or the other. Not always. It says it's not always an easy alternative to face. I found it not an easy alternative to face. I want to get right in between. Now, how did I get in between doomed to an alcoholic death and live on a spiritual basis? Well, yeah, you know, go one meeting a week, not a whole lot of reading, not working through the steps, not really being on a solid food plan. Maybe having a sponsor, maybe not, maybe calling my food in, maybe not. So I was looking for the easier, softer way for over 20 years. And so I wanted to get in between the alcoholic death and a spiritual basis. I want to squeeze right in there, even though there wasn't any room to squeeze in there. So finally, I had to get into this program, Vision, and work this thing the way as if my hair was on fire, and then I got recovered. So what about the first part of that, the atheist or agnostic, such experience seems impossible, but to continue as it means disaster, especially if he's the alcoholic, the hopeless variety. Well, I'm an alcoholic, the old hopeless variety, meaning I can't help myself. I only ask for help from you guys and my higher power. So I'm doing a 10-step within the last 3 or 4 months or 6 months or so with a lady, and I told her I had a lot of fear, and she said, "Well, you're being an agnostic in a spiritual program," and so yeah, well, she hit it right on the head. So, and somebody else said to me, "What if I fear is just." Just atheism, you know, that's what it is. I'm not trying to put down anyone that's an atheist. I was an atheist for 38 years of my life, so I'm not now. But anyway, glad to be on the call, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Ginger C., your 3 minutes are now, and then Melissa will come in after you, and then we'll have time probably for a few more to share. Hi, Ginger.
Hey, good morning, Mel. Thanks so much for your service this morning. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I'm just really thinking about the atheist, a person who disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God or gods. And one of my best friend is an absolute atheist, believes that the apes are where we all stem from. And you can't even begin to mention the word God. And it's just her path and her process. And it's just really clear in this paragraph. I can't even imagine if she came into the rooms hearing God over and over, feeling defeated from the get-go. And so this paragraph is really real, you know, not always easy alternatives to face. And it must feel impossible. I can't even imagine knowing her as well as I do. It must feel impossible. Well, you're screwed because you need God. And thank goodness Ebby brought that beautiful sentence, your own conception, simple and understandable. The problem is you lack power and you need to find some power. And whatever you choose, whatever works for you, and the hope that that brings to anybody and everybody, even my friend, there's a new path, a new way. And we just pray that you find something. And I love that we use the different analogies for God. You know, I've been hugging trees since I was a little girl. I still hug them today. And I've always found it in nature, the great outdoors. Good orderly direction. One of our greatest teachers on the line talks about these watchwords, beauty, justice, love, kindness. I don't know his exact words, but it's words that help him to tap in. So again, it's a broad highway and there's no excuse. And this is a great paragraph and a great indicator. Is this person really ready? Because even the atheist who's so against God, if they're beaten and they're out of ideas and they're really done, hurting is one thing, being done is another thing. They will be willing to move a muscle and keep going forward because there's no excuses. I can't handle another second of this eating nightmare and I got to do something. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. We are, after Melissa's share, going to open it up for additional folks to comment on paragraph 2, page 44 in the big book, which is chapter 4, We Agnostics, if you want to get prepared to be able to share after Melissa has her 3 minutes. Good morning, Melissa. Nice to hear from you.
Hi, thanks. Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York, and starting my timer. You know, like, this spiritual experience seemed impossible. It did for me. It felt impossible because, you know, I had, like many people, I had lots of painful life experiences that I believed were evidence that God didn't exist. Like, I would always point at the pain of things that I had gone through, and I would say, well, how could there be a God? God would never let this happen to me, you know? Or I would say things like, God hates me. Like, how could I believe in God? God must hate me. And, you know, when I was really back against the wall, you know, eating in a way that I could not stand it another second, and I was presented with, you know, no other options. Only the addict, you know, like, only the addict, someone who's totally insane, is being given a solution, is being given a remedy for everything that's falling apart around them, and says, no, I don't really want to do that. And that really was where I was. And for me, what had to happen was I had to have more pain. You know, I hate that that's what it was, but that really was what it was. That because although I couldn't believe in a God at that moment, I couldn't believe in a God. I love that the word is a spiritual experience. You know, I couldn't believe in the concept of a God, but I certainly had enough experience doing things I didn't believe in. You know, every time I ate, every time I went back to the food, I didn't believe in the food anymore, but I was still chasing that experience. So, you know, it didn't have to be so difficult. You know, I remember when I heard, like, create a God of your own conception, you know, this like, critic in me said, oh, sure, you're telling me my thinking is broken, and now you're telling me to use my broken thinking to create a God? You know, and somebody lovingly said, you know, stop being so damn smart. Do you want to recover or not? And that, to me, was the voice of God telling me to lay aside and be open to having an experience. I didn't have to believe in it. You know, the same way, thank you, I'll close that. There are many things that I don't understand, but I know are powerful. And that's really all it took for me. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. 183 are studying today together. That's amazing to me, the power and the phenomenon of this particular thing that we're doing here. Certainly not anything that any of us have done. It's powerful and electric. The lines are now open then for additional people to comment on paragraph 2, page 44. I think we can take probably up to 5 if you give me your first name first and initial of your last name.
Carlisa
C. Hi, Carlisa.
Somebody L.
Kara L.
Kayla T.
Robin Kayla.
Zavala S.
And let me think here. I thought maybe I heard a couple. What I have so far is Carlisa, Kara, Sherry KB, and Kayla.
Patty
T. Lisa and Devorah. That'll give me my 5 right there.
Okay.
So let's see what happens after that, okay, Lisa? Okay, so let's go with Carlisa first, and then Kara, Sherry KB, Kayla, Patty, and Devorah. Hi, Carlisa.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I hope you can hear me.
I can, loud and clear.
Excellent. I just want to take a minute to say the buzzword of the last chapter was control, and how I, as a compulsive eater and many other addictions, want to always have control. That it's either my way or the highway. This chapter is all about a power greater than myself. And it, you know, so it's either my way or the highway, or death, or letting something outside of myself or something that flows through me come in me and guide me. And yes, if it's my giving up control or acknowledging a power greater than myself, whatever I choose to call it, sometimes that is hard, because I certainly came up thinking that self-sufficiency and control were what I was supposed to be all about. But thanks be to God of my understanding that I know better than that. And today, I am willing to believe and be honest about that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Short and sweet. Thanks so much, Carlisa C. Kara L., it's your turn for your 3, and then Sherry KB will come after you.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. First of all, happy to be standing with all of you this morning. I was in a place without cell service for a week, and I just love hearing everybody's voices and hearing everything this morning. So thank you all for being here with me. And I have written in my book, Recovery/Death, Recovery or Death. And I once had a sponsor tell me, all the compulsive overeaters think it's a choice, you know, that, oh, we have a choice here. And I don't today. And it's not always easy to face. And when there are scary things going on in my life, letting go. And when I have the opportunity to realize that my mind is working on something, and I get to work the steps, and I get that choice to write it out and to see my part in it, to see where self has reentered, and then to ask my higher power to remove my character defects, and I get freedom from self. And I get to have, you know, my food neutrality. I get to have emotional sobriety. I get to have, you know, be free from worries. I get to live in the promises. And I'm so grateful today. I'm so grateful today because I really thought it was all up to me. And I didn't realize how much I had a belief in a higher power. And I believed and I didn't trust. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just didn't trust my whole life and everything to my higher power. And today, I do. And when I don't, I work the steps. And then I get to see where I'm not trusting. And then I get to make that conscious contact with my higher power. And I get that sense of calm and serenity and ease and that feeling of being loved. And I get to celebrate my life today. So I'm ever so grateful for everybody on the line today. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tara L. Sherry KB, your time is now, and then Kayla T. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line and Team Tuesday, and welcome newcomers, and welcome to the We Agnostics chapter. I know I've heard so many people talk about that, you know, and I was one of them that skipped over this chapter because I thought that, you know, I believed in God and that was enough and that's all I needed to know, period. And it's so much more than that, especially this paragraph when it talks about, you know, it's using some pretty harsh words here, disaster, doom, death. You know, I have an alternative to face if I'm a true compulsive overeater, because what I've been told so far and what I've learned so far is that if I'm a true compulsive overeater, that the only thing that's going to help me relieve me of my disease is a spiritual solution and these steps. And so if that's the case, then I'm going to have to start working on that belief in order to get through the step work. And so if I don't, that my life will be a disaster. I will be doomed and eventually I will die. Death by a fork or slow death on the layaway plan, but that will happen. And what I was told that I thought was really beautiful is that this chapter is not to prove that there is a God, but to let God prove that God exists in a personal relationship with my understanding of what God is, and get to grow into that, get to have that experience, have that. And it says spiritual basis. So to me, a spiritual basis means a personal relationship with a higher power. Isn't somebody telling me how to have it? It's that I get to have it personally with the God of my understanding that I choose to call God, that power greater than myself. Because I have two alternatives here. I have two choices. And the other one isn't so pretty. And not that this has not been an interesting path, but it's a lot better than living in disaster and doom and gloom and death. If you're a true compulsive overeater, that's what it's telling me. If you're not, that's different. But I am a true compulsive overeater, so I have to work on this relationship with a power greater than myself that I get to connect with, that I get unblocked with when I do this step work. And it is a beautiful thing, and it does grow, and it does change for me. And I've also was told that if I understand God, then God's not big enough to solve all of my problems. So it's a continuation for me of growth and change, and that this chapter is very vital for me, for somebody like me who thought they could figure it out all by themselves. And definitely figuring it out isn't one of our slogans. I do need a power greater than myself. I do need that relationship with a higher power of my understanding that I can grow into. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. Well, now we're looking for Kayla T. to share her 3 minutes, and then Patty T. will follow. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, Kayla T., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. This part of the – oh, I just lost it. Oh, here it is. This part of the chapter, it reminds me of – it brings me back to, like, where I was when I first got into program almost 2 years ago in August, and the fact that, you know, I have 96 days of continuous abstinence, but in that 96 days, I've actually worked the steps in their entirety. And the part where it talks about the hopeless variety and being doomed, and maybe that year and a half, 2 years, and all the years leading up to it, you know, it just felt like, you know, I was completely out of options. And see, I had had some tangible life experience with the steps before and experienced freedom. And I 100% knew that all I needed to do was to just keep my nose to the grind and get through the steps. And the magic and the power of God would work, you know, and that has been my experience. It had to be that this was the last house on the block, if you will. I just couldn't imagine trying to figure it out and force my way and trying to manage and manipulate things into a box where I thought things would work, because every ounce of me was failing. And I could see in others who had done this way of steps that life was better for them, you know. And so I knew, I had full belief, and I'm so grateful. And I think that, you know, God definitely does for us what we can't do for ourselves. You know, he puts people in our lives where we can see what our options could be, you know, and it's up to us to kind of pick those things up. But, you know, I liked what somebody else shared today about, you know, there are times throughout the day where I do become atheist, and thank God we have that 10 step. Thank God we have those fear inventories that we can just, I can just put stuff down on paper, and that's something that I wasn't willing to do for many years, you know, was to actually write out a daily 10 step or not just daily, but maybe 7 times a day if need be, and really take a look at where I've derailed and where I am acting as an atheist. But I'm grateful that
time,
you know, for me, It wasn't a debate on whether or not it was an easy alternative or not. Like, I didn't debate it. I just knew that this was it, you know. And today I have freedom around the fact that I know that this is it. This is it for me. And I get to experience happy, joyous, and free life because of it. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kayla T. Patty T., it's your 3 minutes now. And then Deborah will come in after you. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. And good morning, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God, as I understand God. And, you know, my dad was that atheist / agnostic who was doomed to an alcoholic death because he couldn't find a spiritual path because it meant religion, and he was not going to have that. I lived most of my life claiming faith, but I had no concept or clue as to how to harness that, because I had been raised by the child and wife of an alcoholic who said, you know what, honey, it's all up to you. Self-reliance is the answer. And, you know, coming into these rooms, I was 51 years old when I came into these rooms. It's the same year that my father, the same age my father was when he died of an esophageal aneurysm. And what I found here was that I didn't have to
idea of a religion. All I had to do was be willing to believe in something else, just something else, just something other than what was running me at the time, which was the food, which was the addiction, you know. All I had to do was lean in toward the, in the beginning, was to lean in toward the love and the hospitality of the group, the people at the meeting, the warmth, the laughter, the stories, the shares. And that was enough for me. And then I began to build faith in the spiritual power, the spiritual power that is greater than myself, but not outside myself. It is within me. I am the macrocosm of, I'm the microcosm of the macrocosm, at least in my belief. But it is not found in my head. It is only found in my heart and in my connection with others' hearts. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Patty T. Deborah S., you're up now. Good morning.
Thank you. Hi, Melanie. Good to hear you. And thank you, everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, like everyone else has been saying, you know, I thought that I knew everything about God. So I was going to just skip this chapter, you know, skip this chapter and just move on, because what am I going to learn from here? You know, I could probably teach you a thing or two. So after all, I went to religious school all my life and I grew up in a religious home. So therefore I got what it takes. But you know, when I had to put all that aside and become willing and desperate, and to know that, you know, what I was doing was just not cutting it, you know, staying abstinent and not eating no matter what was not bringing me the relief that I needed. I needed to grow spiritually, and I needed to develop that relationship with God, which I thought I had, but I did not. And and what happens? All of a sudden, you know, all these concepts that we talk about, all of a sudden, I'm realizing that these are all things that that my religion talks about. So it has no conflict, and it just, you know, I can embrace it and grow with it. And I'm learning from all of you what all the things that I didn't learn when I was growing up, and all the things, you know, that I thought I knew, but I didn't know. What a miracle that is, you know, thank God today, you know, like, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to grow spiritually. And I think that's what God wants for me today, because why are we here? You know, God wants us to get close to him and to do his will and to seek what he wants and to be kind and loving to one another. That's what God wants from us today, from me anyway. And, you know, each day, you know, and it doesn't come easy, and it takes work, but it's something that, you know, I grow towards. I have not arrived by a long shot, but it's something that that I lean on, and it gives me a lot of hope and a lot of relief with everything that's going on. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah S. Appreciate that very much. And I'm going to take that last minute or so and give it over to the next portion of our meeting, since it runs so tight. So that Deborah will be the last share today. Thank you so much for everyone that shared this morning and everyone that was a part of Team Tuesday in this particular study group this month. Hopefully you'll continue and return to study and encourage and invite your friends, sponsees, etc., to join you in service here at Vision for You study groups. So let's go with closing out this recorded portion of our meeting, and I would like to ask Elaine T. if she would please read Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only, and then we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Elaine T. Can you press star one, please?
Can you hear me now?
I sure can. I'm glad you're
here. Sorry. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.